Okay, so I got a little problem. No, it's not a big problem. It's a little problem. I want to create a panel. I want to create like a kind of like a, what does the president have? He has a cabinet. So I need some young people, and gosh, there's not a lot of young people here today. So let's see, Daniel and Noah, you're on my cabinet. Would you come up here and sit in these chairs, please? Come on up. Yeah, you've been, this is what you call conscripted. Conscripted, yeah, yeah. Would you come over here and sit over here in my cabinet? Noah and Gracie, would you come up and sit in my panel? Emily, would you come join my panel? Yes, please. Any other, is this all that's left? Am I missing a young person? All right, so this is, do you know what a cabinet is? No. So, okay, do you know what a cabinet is? So the president, okay, he has to make important decisions. He has to rule on policy. He has to do big things. And he doesn't know everything, so he gets a group of people together who are his kind of advisors. And they have certain departments that they're in charge of, but their idea is to kind of give him feedback so that what he's going to do is the best thing for the nation. Does that make sense? Is that an okay explanation? What's a kitchen cabinet? No, no, politically, what's a kitchen cabinet? Huh? His closest advisor. So you're my kitchen cabinet. For the purposes of what we're going to do this morning, you're not the salaried cabinet. Ha ha, don't you wish? Yeah. See, the regular cabinet, they work for the government. But the kitchen cabinet are his closest advisors that he looks to make policy and make things relevant. Okay? Now, we got a real problem. Because as my kitchen cabinet, you all need a Bible. Do you have Bibles? Did you bring one today? Have you got it here today? It's back there? Okay, would you go get a whole bunch of Bibles out of the thing? One, two, three, four, five. We need six Bibles out of the thing. Bring up six Bibles. I don't know if it's on. I can't hear anything. Oh, you say it's on. All right. Those of us with older ears need more volume. That's all there is to it. Now, why am I having a kitchen cabinet? What is it I want you to do? This, you're not in any trouble. And no answer is a bad answer. The thing is, I've got a teaching this morning that has a few specific points to it that the big people, they'll understand. I mean, all these folks that have learned great and mighty things, they'll get it. But how do we make this message relevant to you? Are you with me? You brought him a hymn book. That's a hymn book.
He doesn't want to sing songs?
He's going to sing his cabinetry. Now, work with me. We're not paying attention to them for a minute. See, what I've noticed as a preacher person is because of who I am and the age I am and the what my life connects to them much better than it seems to connect to you. Right? Does that make, I mean, that makes sense, yeah? I mean, if I was going to put on a party and I wanted you to come to my party, and I put on an old person's party, would you want to hang there for long? You probably wouldn't want to be there very long because after 10 minutes it'd be like, eh. So if I impaneled you as a kitchen cabinet to help put on my party and had you think of games and musics and food and all of that kind of, if I made the party relevant to you, you'd maybe stay a little longer, right? Maybe you'd tell me not to invite any old people. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to lay out a couple of points, and when it's one of those points that I'm concerned about, I want it to be relevant to you. I want you guys to think, how can we make this point fit your lives, not so much their lives? Does that make sense? Well, we'll try it. We'll see if it works. And the rest of you are going to have no problem at all. You'll be fine. We're in 1 Peter. But before we get to 1 Peter, we have to quickly look at a famous passage in the book of Matthew. And for my panel, if they want to turn to Matthew chapter 16, they can. We'll see if this is an important point or not. So Jesus, he had some followers, right? Jesus had some folks that he called. I mean, we can call them disciples. We can even call them apostles. We can elevate them any way we want. But the point is that these people were following Jesus, right? They were his friends. They spent the 3 major years of his life together, right? And wherever he went, they went, and they talked things through, and he would do things and say things, and sometimes they would disagree with him, and he would work with them, right? And one of those guys, Simon, who we call Peter, okay? So Peter, what do we know about Peter? Well, we know that Peter had a lot of questions. We know that Peter feared for his life. We know that Peter had a terrible problem in his faith. But we also know that when it came down to it, Peter became rock solid steady for Jesus Christ, an apostle of his, and a proclaimer of the gospel. Right? So Peter was one of... But listen, in Matthew 16, this is chapter 16, verse 18. This is why I have called you Peter, which translates in the Greek for the word rock. This is why I've called you Peter, for on this rock I will build my church. Have you ever heard that before? Panel, have you ever heard that before? Yeah. On this rock I will build my church. Now, this is a pretty important thing. What was the rock? Was the rock the man Peter? Which, I have to tell you that a huge portion of the Christian faith believe, Catholics tend to believe, that it's talking about the man Peter, and that upon this man Peter, who they believe became the first pope, okay, that upon him, God would build the church. Mark said instantly, no, it wasn't the man Peter. It was actually the confession of Jesus. Right? It was on the confession that Jesus is Lord that Jesus is going to build the church. Okay, so this is what we call theology. See? See, we got this concept, upon this rock I'll build my church. Okay, what rock? Who's the rock? Well, Peter's name means rock. So is Jesus saying, upon you, Peter, I'm going to build a big church? No. It's what Peter was saying with his own mouth. Peter was declaring, you are my God. I exalt you. I praise you. Right? Everything that we sang about this morning. This is what Peter's... All right, so this is theology. Upon this confession, Jesus says, I'll build my church. Academically, you okay with that? Gracie, makes sense? All right. How do we make it relevant to guys your age? How else could we say those words that would have it make more sense to young people? What? He's right there? You're copping out? Oh. Sorry about that, Daniel. She says, you've got the answer. That's the way a kitchen cabinet works sometimes, Dan. I think what is probably true is that in the circles that you live, not here in church, but out there, wherever you're with other people your own age, doing the things you guys do, this is probably not a discussion you're having. So how can anything be relevant in your life if we're not talking about it? Think about that. All right. Now, having said that as an intro, First Peter chapter 1. Find First Peter chapter 1. And here, church, you can get in the game now. First Peter chapter 1. Junior and Olivia. Hey, how you doing? Have you been there all morning? And I'm just now noticing. All three of you, huh? Huh? Hey, congratulations. I couldn't help it. All right, are you with me? 1 Peter chapter 1? Okay, panel. It says, Peter, an emissary of Jesus the Anointed One, to God's chosen people living as aliens. So what is that? Are you an alien? Have you seen the movie Aliens with Sigourney Weaver? Too old for you, huh? How many of you old people have seen Aliens with Sigourney Weaver? Yeah, okay. Have you seen Star Trek? Or Star Wars? You seen Star Wars? Did they have creatures in Star Wars? What'd they look like?
Weird.
They looked weird?
Different.
Compared to us, yeah? Would we call them aliens?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the gospel saying here?
This translation says strangers in the world.
Wow, strangers, huh? Close that one. Okay. What's yours say? Strangers? Is this all new NIVs? Is that the NIV?
Yeah.
Yeah. Says what? Foreigners. Foreigners, strangers, aliens. So aliens doesn't line up with you very well because that you're thinking of weird-looking creatures. But foreigners and strangers, is that making some sense? You're living here as a foreigner. You say, I'm not a foreigner, I'm an American.
Holman has it correctly. It says temporary residence.
That says what?
Temporary residence.
Okay, so the Holman translation takes great liberty. You're living as a temporary resident here. Kind of like you got a green card. What does that mean?
That we don't belong here, and this is not final destination.
Wow. He says that we don't belong here because this isn't our final destination.
Amen.
And can anyone else put that in more kitchen cabinet lingo? We're different. Okay, now this is critical. Young people, about the last thing you want to be when you go to school is different. Or is it? What do you wear? Do you wear something that blends in with the crowd? Or do you wear something that says, look at me? Do you wear clothing that nobody would ever recognize as a name, brand, any kind of a thing? Or do you try and wear the hippest, most coolest stuff out there? You're probably saying, well, I can't afford the hippest, coolest stuff out there. You know, I'd like to be really... Do you see what I'm talking about here? One thing as young folks is we don't want to be too different. We don't want people to notice us. We don't want people to pick on us. We don't want to be seen as the stranger. You with me? Our whole culture works this way. And then we go out of our ways to say, look at me, look at me. We're trying so hard for people to notice us. And yet we don't want any attention. Well, and some people go crazy on the other side, and they want all the attention. What is the Bible saying about us as Christians? And I think you were right on, that we're different, right? We are. How are we different? How are you young people different from the masses of young people that you could be with? Noah, how are you different? Yes, you know where you're going when you die. That's pretty cool. But is that a common conversation at Corbin? Have you had that around the, you know, cafeteria? You sit around and talk about dying? I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Me and Carol sit around and talk about that. I don't think at Corbin University you're talking too much about where you're going when you're dead. Gracie, you went to Ecola Bible. Did you sit down there and talk about where you're going when you're dead?
Only once.
One thing that makes you different is the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. True? So if that makes you different, if you're living in this land different from those that don't know Jesus, will those that don't know Jesus know that you do know Jesus? Did that make sense? I tried to say that carefully. As you know, I've said this now 4 or 5 times in the last couple of months, I'm very concerned. I am very concerned about you. I'm less concerned about them. They've pretty much declared their faith. They've pretty much decided what they're going to do with their life. I'm concerned about you guys. I'm concerned that when you can make your own decisions, when you can choose not to go to church, when you can choose to put the Bible away and pick up something else, I'm concerned that when your parents aren't lording it over you, that you're going to just explode into the world. And so I'm taking this time to speak to just 6 of you this morning. 6 of you. Don't give up on Jesus Christ. Okay? Don't give up on Him. Mark got us going this morning. He says, it's so easy to say, well, Lord, if You're Lord, how come? How come this isn't the way it should be? How come that's not the way? Do any of you 6 have anything in your life that seems crummy? Huh? Do you have anything in your life that you're praying to God about? And do you have any question as to why God hasn't answered it already? Of course you do. I mean, I know you. I want you to gain some identity this morning. You're a foreigner. You're a stranger. You're living in this place. You're different.
And that's okay.
Not only is it okay, but it's the platform for your message. It's the very basis for which you get to tell other people about Jesus. Chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Okay, I have to start with 3, it looks like. Blessed is God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. Because He has raised Jesus the Christ from death, through His great mercy we have been reborn into a living hope. And Jonah, I'm getting just an echo here in the monitors. Been reborn into a living hope, reborn for an eternal inheritance, held in reserve in heaven, that will never fade or fail, Through faith, God's power is standing watch, protecting you for a salvation that you will see completely at the end of things. Now, guys, listen, this is one of those deals. I kind of don't like this because it's like God is saying, like your parents will say sometimes, just trust me, someday you'll understand. Yeah, you want to do something, they don't want you to do it, and you're arguing with them, and you come up with all kinds of reasons why you should do it, and finally they say, just trust me and do what I say, and when you get a little older, you'll understand. Have you ever heard that? Yes. Here is God saying the same thing, right? He says, you're a stranger. You should live here. You're an alien, if you will, in a strange land. You're a stranger. But look at some good news. What is the good news in there that you could actually tell somebody? Just in verse 4. What is it? You have an inheritance. Do you know what an inheritance is? Something you get after somebody dies. Is that pretty cool? I mean, we don't dislike it, do we? I mean, if I just gave you a check for a whole bunch of money because somebody died, you'd say, cool. Right? In fact, when you get older, you find that you're going to start, right now you're living your life for you. I get that. Pretty soon you'll find that you want to live your life not just for you, but for someone else as well. That's pretty cool. So now you're living your life for others. And if you get married and have kids, then you'll find you're living your life for them, which your folks have done for you. That's pretty cool, right? And you'd probably like to be able to leave them something. That's called inheritance. All the older folks in the room are trying to figure out how to leave our children better off than we had it. See? And we're very frustrated, by the way. We adults are very frustrated because we're finding out that this next generation's not going to be better off because we had it really good. And so there's all kinds of politics about that. The cabinet meets. But this is not about physical things, is it? What is this about?
Spiritual things.
Huh? What kind of things? What does it say in the text? Four or five? Amber, can you find it in four or five? Okay, right. The verse just before that. What's it say about your inheritance? Your inheritance can never spoil or even fade. If I did give you $10,000, what would you do with it?
Probably spend it.
Spend it. Then it's gone.
Yeah.
Your inheritance in heaven can't be exhausted. Hello, big people?
Amen.
This is a pretty good point. What's coming for us won't be exhausted. It won't get used up. It won't fade. We can't ruin it. I tell you, see, they might be listening. Chapter 1, verse 13. Now, here is where I really need the panel. And I need you guys because, again, there's a generation gap here. So I'm directing this morning to you. Read verse 13. Okay, does every Bible say the same? Think clearly.
Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled.
Okay, hold, slow that down. Read the exact thing again, but slowly.
Therefore, prepare your minds for action.
Okay, this translation says, so get yourselves ready. Prepare yourselves for action. Holman?
Yes.
1:13.
mind's ready for action.
So as Daniel read, you're going to get ready, you're going to prepare, you're going to think clearly, you're going to control yourself, but it says you're going to look forward in hope as you focus on the grace. How do you do that? I think you're the youngest. How young are you?
12.
And are you the oldest? 21. 12 to 21, 9 year span. What does it mean in your age group, your demographic, what does it mean to get ready for the grace that the Lord wants to pour out? What does that mean for you? Not for the theologian at Dallas Seminary. What does it mean for you? How can you get ready? Good plan.
Because live according to the Bible and try your best to follow what it says and be an example to other people.
Wow. You probably couldn't hear what he was saying, but he says, read your Bible, do what it says, be an example,
see,
so that others could follow.
See, I told you he had the answer.
He had the answer. You were right. Any other ideas of what you can do to get ready? Pray. How about the personal nature of things? What can you do as a person? Right? Pray. Worship. Right? Is the only time you guys worship when you come to Dayspring? Or do you ever worship by turning on, I don't know, Christian radio? Am I being just too personal this morning? Am I too much in your face? Because see, if I really believe what I say I believe, and if I really care about who I say I care about, then this gets to be very important. Get yourselves ready. Prepare your minds. Control yourselves. Look forward in hope as you focus on the grace that's coming. Your inheritance is guaranteed. It's there. It's without defeat. And totally up to you. This is really cool. Okay. So we're going to close the panel with two questions. Excuse me, not two questions. Two things. So she's taking notes. Gracie, you're doing a great job. Write down two things. Two things. She's actually drawing pictures of me with a beard. No, I can't tell it. Two things. Chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1 in this translation says,
therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit.
Do what with it?
Rid yourselves.
Rid yourselves. What does that mean?
Get rid of it.
Get rid of what?
Is that malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander, overkind?
Is that a pretty good list?
Yeah.
What would that? How would you do that? Big people were in chapter 2 of 1 Peter. Chapter 2, just verse 1. That's pretty clear what it says. Noah, what's yours say?
Lay aside all malice, guile,
he says, hatefulness and deception, insincerity, jealousy, slander. How are we doing with that? Pretty hard, huh? It'd be a great conversation starter when you get home later. You can say, hey, Mom or Dad, how do you get rid of hatefulness? Okay, big people panel. Any answers for the little people?
Love one another.
How do you do that if you hate them?
Well, for me, it started with getting transformed. I couldn't myself do it. It's not my nature. So I had to take on the nature of Christ, and the only way to do that is by being born again.
Do you hear what he's saying? Here the Bible's telling you to do something. We're acknowledging that we cannot do it by ourselves. It's like if I called you up to my place, I got 5 acres of grass, I said, would you please mow this? And I gave you a scissors. What?
You better be paying more than $20. Pay.
I'm not paying anything. Rid yourselves of these things. I mean, we can't. Listen to me, guys. You cannot do this with the mind of the world. You can't solve any of these issues or problems thinking the way the world thinks or what your friends might tell you is the most popular way to do something. You can't do it. It can only happen through Christ, through being changed, by giving yourself 100% to Him. And so all of the arguments that people might say, oh yeah, the church is not, all the church does is give you a bunch of rules. Well, that may be what church does, but that's not what Jesus does. Jesus doesn't give you a bunch of rules to live by. Jesus gives you a power to live by. Jesus gives you a strength. Jesus gives you a resolve. Jesus gives you His Holy Spirit. Hey, I mean, come on. You must desire to read His Word. So, the first thing is to rid yourself. Now, the answer, I think, is in the next verse, which is verse number 4. So, chapter 2, verse 1, told you to get rid of a whole bunch of stuff that we agree we don't know how to get rid of it. Everybody behind you in this room is trying to figure out how to get rid of the same stuff in their lives. And none of us have mastered this yet. But the answer is pretty clear in verse 4. So what does verse 4 say?
As you come to Him, the living...
That's it. Daniel, what's it say?
You are coming to Christ.
That's it. Wyatt, what does yours say?
To whom coming?
Noah? Amber? Church, there's the answer of how you and I can live the kind of lives we say that we want to live, is by coming to Christ. Come to Him, the living stone, who was rejected by people, but He was accepted by God. There's not one of us in this room that can live the life of Christ apart from Christ. Right? If you say at the age, I'm not going to ask you to embarrass yourself here by not knowing the answer, but if I were to say, what do you want to do when you grow up? You might have some kind of answer. And if you said, when I grow up, I want to be a teacher. Okay, that's a good, noble thing. And then you don't ever go to school? And you don't ever learn anything about teaching? You just proclaim you want to be a teacher? Or do you prepare yourself? You're going to prepare, right? So if we say we want to be a Christian, and we want to live like Christ, we want to follow Him, right? We got to come to Him. We got to come to Him. And I'll tell you, I've got an advanced degree. You know what an advanced degree is, don't you? Something more than a bachelor's degree or a master's degree or a doctoral degree. Those are advanced degrees. I've got an even more advanced degree in worldliness and just doing what the world does. And it always fails. And I go, what was I thinking? And Jesus says, Skip, just come to me. These little crises we go through in life, maybe you haven't been through a big one yet, but if you haven't, you will. You come to some big crisis in your life, you don't want to go through that by yourself. You want Jesus. Yeah, you want Jesus. So thank you, panel. Thank you, kitchen cabinet. Thank you for understanding what I'm trying to do is figure out how to make this relevant to kids your age, 12 to 21. Next year, 13 to 22 you'll be. What are the ways that we'll close this way? What are the ways that you could help someone else know what it means to come to Christ?
This one could take a while.
Well, how about this? Would this help?
It definitely helps, but I think there may be someone to help like us.
Reading the Bible helps. Worship helps. Listening to Christian music helps. All those things. Praying helps. Surrender. What does it even mean to surrender? Can you think, you guys, just you guys, can you think of the last time you had an argument with your parents? A disagreement of any kind. Can you remember? Can you remember fighting for what you wanted? What does it mean to surrender?
Give yourself up.
Does that mean lose?
No.
No. Doesn't. Okay, panel, thank you. I'm looking for ways to try and make the message of the gospel make more sense to your age group. So any feedback you want to give me, any help you want to give me, I'm open. And maybe the rest of the church, who was very patient this morning to be totally ignored, maybe you caught something. Lord, we give you our great thanks this morning for your word, which we want to hide so deep in our heart. Lord, we do want to be those that rid ourselves of worldliness. We do want to be those who are spiritually minded people. So, God, extend church time in our lives. Help us live on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday the way we say we want to live on Sunday morning. Help us, oh God, to make this faith real in our very own lives. We depend on you. We look to you, oh God. We come to you. For there is no other God that we worship. You are our God. Amen? Amen. You're my high tower, my strength and song, my shield and fortress. You're the Prince of Peace, the mighty God, everlasting Father. You are my God. You are my God. Sing it. You are my God. You are my God. That's our benediction. All right. See you later, church. Have a great summer day. And it's not too hot today.